All right, if you have your Bible, open up to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Everybody there? All right. So last week we looked at loving God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. We looked in verse 25. It says, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and he said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'Who is my neighbor?' Then Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down to Jerusalem, or from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, he came and he looked, and he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and he said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which one of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." And then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." When you look at this, what he calls the greatest commandment, he starts off with loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then he connects the same commandment to "and love your neighbor as yourself." It's not two different commandments. It's one commandment, because to do one generates the other. It's just natural that if you love the Lord, that you're going to love your neighbor. Would y'all agree? And so in that, thank you, Nathan. One of y'all agree. That's good. We got room to work this morning. So here's the thing. When God speaks to you, I was reading this week, I believe it's in the same chapter in Luke 10. Don't go looking for it. But he said, "What I speak to you in the darkness, you shout in the light." God doesn't just speak to us in order for us to just go, "Wow, you know, God spoke and it was all about me." Whatever God speaks, it transfers to your neighbor. And when God blesses you, he blesses you for you to be a blessing to your neighbor. He told Abraham, "I will bless you and you will be a blessing." And so when whatever route God shows his love to us and shares his love to us and gives it to us, it doesn't mean we're supposed to absorb it. We should always be a conduit through which everything God gives flows in and out of our life. That's what it means. And so looking at this, this man wants to justify himself and he asks, "So who's my neighbor?" I want to give you three things. If you want to write something down, to start with is the wickedness of the world. The wickedness of the world. When you look at this story, to start with, you see an innocent man. This man's traveling. Obviously, he's traveling alone between Jerusalem and Jericho, minding his business. And then out of the shadows, a coward, or a group of cowards is what it is, thieves jump him. They rob him even of his clothes, beat him down, and they leave him to die. And say, why would you call that coward? Anybody who is moved by the spirit of the devil is a coward, because the devil's a coward.
That's right.
And anybody who comes in the darkness and tries to attack innocent people is no more than a coward. That's all they are. And so in that, it sounds like when you read this, and you know, I was already here before this week came, but when you read this, it almost sounds like you're reading or listening to Fox News as you read the Bible, because you look at the wickedness of our world, and I know everybody's been keeping up with and looking at the thing with Charlie Kirk, and that was horrendous. I believe God's going to do something great out of it. But in that, you know, I hardly ever watch the news, but for some reason this week I was just in places and I saw it, and I saw that deal where that dude killed that girl on that bus and stabbed her, and then the deal, I don't know if y'all heard, the guy got beheaded in Dallas, and then the school shooting. So you can go on and on and on. Those are just the headlines. If you look at the condition of our country and where we are right now, we live in a world that is continuing to grow more and more desperately wicked, darker and darker. And I know the world's always been wicked. This testifies of the wickedness of the world. Any people apart from Jesus is liable to do anything. Sin moves people to darker and darker throughout their entire life. Jesus comes and said, I'm the light of the world. And why do people not accept him? Because the Bible says men love darkness. That's right. Men love darkness. But here's the thing. As we live in this world, understand that, you know, and I'll be honest with you, man, when I saw that on Charlie getting shot, immediately, my flesh just went, you know, I wanted to choke somebody and what I wanted to do. And after a few hours praying and calming down, you know, try to rein that in. And I'm still trying to rein it in, if you want to know the truth. But here's the truth. This is a work of the devil. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. Did you see, you know, I'm not one of the pastors that's quick to go, I see it, the Lord's coming back, but I'm also not one to go, it's a high possibility, people. We better wake up and see what's going on in the world and especially in this nation as a spirit of the Antichrist. That was not a political assassination. That was a Christian assassination is what that was. And so in that, evil people are so consumed by self and greed and their opinions and worldly pleasure, and you don't see any value for life. It's the same thing that you see here. The Bible said Satan is a thief. He come to kill, to steal, and destroy. So the things that we see going on in this country and in this nation and in Palestine, Texas, you got to make sure that you see things in the right mentality if you're going to battle it in the right way. Because here's the thing. In this, it's not time, and let me say this, hope you get it, it's not time for fear or timidness or retreat. And I'm not talking about, you know, going out and getting signs and you know, shouting at people and scream matches and all that kind of stuff, being obnoxious or even, you know, going to war. I want you to think about this. If war fixed things, the world would be great, because we've been warring ever since sin came along. You know, and so that's obviously not the answer. The Bible actually says in Romans 12, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. He also says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so God doesn't call his church to be timid. You know, I would imagine, after looking, I imagine there's churches all over the United States is full of people this morning, and that's great. But if that's as far as it goes, that's not going to change anything. It seems like all of a sudden when things begin to happen, we run Sunday to the church. And that's not going to change. Hopefully it'll change us in some way so that when we hear from God in here, we'll carry it out into the world and do something with it. But if it stays in here, nothing's going to change in this world. It's going to continue just to grow worse and worse and worse. And you know, I know what people say, well, isn't that what the Bible says? It does say that, but there's a reason. There is a reason why when you read the book of Revelation that you see a continual downgrading and going to the end of time where the world gets darker and darker and darker. It's because in Revelation chapter 3, I believe it's about verse 14 through 17, it refers to the last church of that day. It's the Laodicean church. It was the lukewarm church who said, oh, we're rich, we're great, we don't have need of anything. All they were was about themselves. All they were was about, hey, we're getting together, the church building's paid for, everything's good, we're in the AC, my life is good, got the 401k laid up in the bank, family's doing pretty good right now, so Lord, we're good, you stay. And he was outside the church. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He was outside. You know why the world gets darker and darker? Because the church takes on that attitude. That's why. So here's the thing. All of these things that we see should not trigger a war, but it should bring about an urgency in God's people. I'll give you the answer, and it's always been the answer. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only thing, the only weapon of our warfare that can change even the most wicked heart is when people believe and receive the love of God within their hearts, their lives will be transformed, and it should go to other people and be a seed to transform them. Now listen to me. I know what people think. Well, you need to preach more, or some people are like, well, you know, we've heard this so many times. I'll just tell it to you like it is. If you took every believer in this room, not that we're all believers, but if you took every believer in this church this morning, at ET, at Southside, at Westwood, at Dogwood, and the other 10,000 churches we got in this town or this area, all over, and you just start spreading, if every single born again believer would invest and show this kind of love to one sinner for a year, if you could just win one person a year, just one, to Jesus, do you know what this nation will look like 5 years? Totally transformed. Totally transformed. That's all it takes. One person a year. One person a year. And I don't want you to raise your hands. Okay, don't raise your hand. I'm not talking about worship, but this question. Because I asked a question. I met with a group of guys and pastors, and this week we were sitting there and we was kind of discussing the situation our churches are in, because it's awful. It's awful. You're like, well, churches are full everywhere. You know what? So are garbage cans. You know, just because something's full don't mean it's functioning. And I'm not calling people garbage, but that's just off the top of my head. So anyhow, I had to clarify that. Good analogy. There we go. So think about this. We was talking about that, and just totally lost my thought process. Let me see if I can get that back. I'm going to skip that. I'll get it back in just a minute. Anyhow, I talked to some pastor this week, and we had a good conversation. But anyhow, I want to get to this point.
About the churches?
53
years old.
54 almost, man. All right. It's all right. Lord might not want me to say that. Here's where I'm at. One person. I just kind of want to stick on that for just a minute. Just one person. That's what it was. Thank you, Lord. How many of you here today, especially those of us who've been saved for a while, have a friend? Not an acquaintance, not somebody you know, not just a family member, but you have a friend who is a sinner, a lost sinner who does not know Jesus, and you are a friend with them, not only so that you can share the gospel, and if they don't get it, you're gone. I'm not talking about that kind of friend. I'm talking about your friends with a lost person that you are loving like this, that you are pouring God's love into, hoping that they come to Jesus, but that's not the only reason that you're friends with them. I looked around that table and not one hand raised. I'm like, you want to know what the problem with the church is today? God's people get to the place where we're only friends with God's people. Yeah. Jesus was a friend to sinners. Yeah. And if we would come to the place where we go, you know what? Let me explain this to you. If you're a born again believer, you're sealed until the day of judgment. You're sealed. You don't lose your salvation. Right. You understand that? You're bought and paid for in full by the blood of Jesus, raised to life. You know all these things. So what I'm saying is, being lost is not contagious. You can be around sinful people. Don't do what they do. Jesus was around sinful people. He didn't take no part in sin. But there was something about him that sinful people enjoyed being around. I think it was grace and love and truth. Even sinful people respect somebody who tells the truth. They don't respect a hypocrite, but they do respect somebody who stands for truth in a gracious and a kind spirit. And God's called us to win people to the Lord. And if the church was up and about that, instead of all this other goofy stuff that we're up and about, we'd see a change in our nation, radical change. It's kind of the way Jesus designed it, if you want to know the truth. So we look at the wickedness of the world. Second thing is, let's look at the worthlessness of religion. The worthlessness of religion. All of a sudden you see this guy, he's laying there half dead, no hope. And this priest comes along, a certain priest by chance came down the road. I would imagine this priest was wearing the right clothes. He might have had the Torah underneath, you know, your Bible, however you want to word it. Underneath, he was headed, maybe going to the temple, going towards Jerusalem. I don't know. He might have been coming up. I don't know. I'm just painting a picture of a priest. But we know this. He, of all people, should have been the first one to jump at the opportunity to show the love of Jesus. But instead, he sees the man and he passes by on the other side. Then you see a Levite. A Levite was one. Now, priests come out of the tribe of Levite, but not all Levites were priests. Some of them weren't qualified to be priests. But a Levite was kind of like the average person in church today. where you have your part and you're serving, you're involved. That's what this Levi, he was serving, involved in the temple. They would help the priest. They would take care of a lot of different things. A lot of times they would teach. And so it would be like a faithful church member today. This Levite comes along like, surely after leaving a Bible study, he's got his t-shirt on, he's got his cross necklace on, and all of a sudden the Lord maybe led him down that road. He sees this dude. I think it actually says he walked over to him. It says when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, he came and looked and passed by on the other side. I mean, he walks up to the man, he sees the man, and then he turns and he walks away. You go, that's a hypocrite. No, it's not. It's a lost person. It's a lost person that doesn't know God whatsoever. Well, he's a priest. That's the worthlessness of religion. Religion doesn't change anything. Doesn't change just because you're a pastor, a priest, a church member, all of that. Everybody sitting here today, I want us all to hear, and I'm talking to you. Just because you've been a member of this church for a long time, and I have this role, and I'm a pastor, and I'm a teacher, and I'm a deacon, and I'm a, all these things, if that's all you've got, worthless. It's worthless. Altogether worthless. Y'all with me? Let me get back to my notes so I get in trouble. Think about these guys. Number one, by their own path, they were so blinded. It's what religion does. Religion blinds us to what the Lord really, who He is and what He has us to do. And they were blinded by their patterns and their agendas. For some people, church on Sunday is just a pattern. Church on Wednesday night, just a pattern. Going to Bible studies 5 times a week is just a pattern. What does it produce? That's the question. Jesus said, you'll know them by their what? Produce, their fruit. If those things are producing the same thing as producing these two, it's worthless. They were too busy, too rigid to care about somebody in need. James chapter 2 says, if you see a brother or sister in destitute of daily needs, whether it's food, whether it's clothing, whether it's water, whatever, and all you say is, be you blessed and filled, and you go about your business, what good is that? What good is that? I'll go to this church. Well, you know, brother, I'd sure help you right now, but I'm going to wait to a Bible study. I'm like, we're lucky God don't strike us with a bolt of light in some of the things that we involve ourselves. I'm not against Bible studies. I'm not against Bible studies by no means. But listen to me, as long as people are simply religious, the world's going to continue to grow worse and worse. As long as we just come to church and we go back and live like the world, and we come to church and we go back and live churchy. Yet we do not love God with all our heart, and we do not love our neighbors ourselves. Listen to me, especially a few in the younger generation, because I'm past raising kids at this point. All of you here raising kids, you are setting the environment. The church today is building the environment by which your kids will live in. And right now it's getting pretty violent. Right now it's pretty dark. You say, you're saying this is our fault? I'm saying we need to own a lot of it. We need to own a lot of it. The Bible actually says, for the lack of knowledge, my people perish. And as long as all we do is we're religious, it doesn't matter how religious we get, we can be as religious. This was a priest. He was just as religious as far as religion could carry him, and it didn't carry him nowhere. Y'all with me? So I'm going to finish up. Watch this. Let's look at the work of love. This is where everything changes. What does it look like to love your neighbor as yourself? So at this point, we looked at the lawyer. He wants to justify himself. We look at a priest and a Levite. They can only see themselves. And now the Lord says, verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Now, there's a reason why Jesus picked a Samaritan. Jews hated Samaritans. To a Jew, the only good Samaritan is a dead Samaritan. And so you think about Jesus, he's got this crowd of all these religious leaders. Then he's got the people who are standing around him listening, and this religious leader steps up with his fourth doctorate degree, and he says, tell me, teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? In his smugness, in religion does what it always does. It wants to justify myself. Flashing his degree, suit and ties and all these things. And he just asked Jesus, so Jesus, like, let me tell you a story about a Samaritan. Imagine what they'd have thought. Pick the lowest person out in the social status, and now Jesus is going to teach all these people what love really looks like. So this Samaritan, because here's what I want you to get. Man, if you don't get nothing else, get this. Ministry is not about who you are. Ministry is about who you love. You understand? In America, ministry has been made to be about who you are. Hey, I'm going to start a ministry. Immediately, I'm going to be on social media. Immediately, I got to get on social media. I got to get this platform, that platform. Nothing wrong with social media. It's a great platform. But listen to me. We've been taught to build ministry around us, who we are. Promote you and use you as a platform. The Lord said he uses foolishness to confound to the wise. So I want to do something for Jesus, then get ready to look foolish. And so hearing this, I go, my question is not about who you are, what role you have, what your ministry is, but who do you love? If you look back through this week, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. We can even hammer it on there with some cake icing. I'm a born again Christian. That's the only kind there is, brother. And you know what? I go to church. I go to this church or that church or blah church. And I attend this conference and that conference, and I hold this position and that position. Who do you show this kind of love to this week? Most of us, if we were honest, we look back through the week and go, at least here's what we'll say. Well, I really didn't see that opportunity. It's because we're so blind. Those opportunities are there every week. Every week we walk by people, get this, in our own homes who could use this kind of love. You know, the best place to start a ministry? In your own home with the people that you naturally love the most, who need to see Jesus the most. Isn't it funny how we look at this text like, all right, I'm going to go out today. I'm going to go on the bridge. I'm going to find a homeless dude who's passed out, and I'm going to show him the love of Jesus. Why don't you go to the living room to the teenager that you're raising and show him or her that love of Jesus? Why don't you teenagers go to your house and show your poor old mom and daddy that love of Jesus? Man, I got some parents stirred on that. Amen. Because here's the thing, ministry, this is my last W, is a work of love. Ministry is a work of love. If we look, and I'll read it to you real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 says this, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become like sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries, all knowledge, and though I have faith, so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but there's no love, it profits me nothing. You know why? Because all it is empty religion. Empty religion. Love goes to work. You see this dude? He sees him. He goes over to him and watch what happens. It said he came to where he was. And when he saw him, you know, you got to have the eyes of Jesus. When you love God with all your heart, all your soul, and your mind, you know what he does? He opens up your eyes to see with his eyes. He opens up your ears to hear with his ears. And he gives you a heart that he converts and gives you the heart of Jesus. How can you walk by people knowing they're going to hell? How can you walk by people knowing that they're in desperate need and you have to give what they need and you just ignore them? That's not the love of God. Born again Christians, amen. When I look at this, I go, you know what love does? Love goes to work. Now watch what our society does. And let me say this. Arguing with the priest and the Levite changes nothing. Arguing with the priest and the Levite. What all of a sudden what we want to do is, man, we're going to start, this is what's going on. I'm going to start firing debates. Sending out a hateful post and comments about the thieves won't change anything. Think about it. That Samaritan could have walked over to him and went, this is horrible. It's pitiful what's happening to you. This shouldn't happen. This is an injustice. You don't want to wait right here. I'm going to go catch up with that priest and that Levite, and I'm going to line them out because they are hypocrites. That's all the church is full of, is hypocrites. That dude probably makes more money than most people that go to his church. Let's hear it. I'm going to go fix this. That dude's going to die. You know what I'm going to do? I tell you what I'm fixing to do. I got my Facebook right here. Brother, we're fixing to take a selfie. And I'm going to post on here and go, are you thieves? You know what I'm going to do? If I see you thieves, I'm going to choke your head off. I ain't the only one that thought that this week. When I saw the picture of that guy on the stairway, I thought, I wish I was on that stairway right now. Anyhow, I'd have told him about Jesus. He would have needed him at that moment. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? And here's the thing, we've been taught that. We've been taught that's what ministry is. We've been taught that's what a Christian is. We're going to say this and say that, say this and say that, or turn our head, or whatever it is. I'm like, doesn't change. The man fitting to die. If I don't show him love, if I don't work and get involved and make a sacrifice for this man's good, he will perish. Y'all with me? And so, yeah, I'm going to say this too. Joining a third Bible study is not going to change nothing. Man, we got, and if you ain't in a Bible study, get in one. If you know, I love God's word. We is not belittling when I say this, but sometimes what we do is we'll come to church and we're like, okay, I'm gonna do a Bible study. That's good. That's great. You know what I heard this week? I heard that dude, Charlie Kirk, that's terrible. I'm gonna go to another Bible study. You know what, all these trans people and all these homosexual stuff, and they're carrying it into the schools, and they're voicing their opinion, and they're trying to warp the minds of our kids. We need to get together and do another Bible study. And we're going to pray in this group. I'm like, prayer is essential. Prayer is powerful. But it should be coupled with being the hands of Jesus as I'm helping this dude dying on the side of the road. I think sometimes we do a lot of good stuff that don't make a whole lot of good changes. The Samaritan sees this man half dead. You know what happens? It says he was moved. He saw him and he had compassion. That's God's spirit in you. When you see with the eyes of Jesus, and here's what I got to ask you, what are you seeing? What are you seeing? When you look at our world, when you walk out of here this week, most of us go, I see bill collectors. I see TV, I see social media, I see me, I see all the things I need, I see the things I want, I see all these things in the world's going on, it's overwhelming, and I just want to avoid it because it's just overwhelming. That's the question. Do you see, here's what I ask you, do you see people who are half dead that has been stripped by thieves, the thief, that you go, I can't just continue to go on and ignore these things? How can we continue to ignore the circumstance, the situation that kids live in today? How can we just ignore the situation, the circumstance that churches are in today? How can we go on with lost people and all these blind religious people that think because they go to church that they're okay? Well, yeah, everybody's got their own thing. Like, if you see that and you got God's spirit in you, does he not stir you to go, I got to do something. I got to do something. If you don't have that, I'm going to challenge if you even know God. I'm going to challenge that. Oh, don't tell me, preacher. I'll walk down in front of the church. I don't care where you walked. Are you walking with Jesus? Is he living inside of you? Does his love compel you like the Bible teaches to go, I want to show the love of God to somebody today? Can't contain it. Amen. Get this, I'm almost done. This was spontaneous and purposeful. Here's what happens. We get saved. We come to church, like baptized brother, sister, and little brother this morning. And if we're not careful, we fall into a pattern and an agenda where we go, okay, now I need to find my place in the church where I serve, and or I'm going to have my ministry. And I'm going to title it, and I'm going to organize it, and I'm going to get a group to help me with it, and then we're going to launch a Facebook thing, and this is ministry. And it's got to be organized and put together, and everything's got to be just, this is what we're really saying. I have to have full control because I don't want to leave God no room to work. Who knows what he would do? Come on. And so in that, you go, this is spontaneous. You know what it means to walk in the Spirit? I believe Mark preached on abiding in Christ, walking in the Spirit. That was talked about on Wednesday. Walking in the Spirit means each day I go, okay, Lord, you know I work. I'm going to wake up this morning. My plans are I'm going to get up, eat breakfast, go to work, do my thing. But here's the thing, God, if you want to interrupt my day, I'm going to walk with you all day. And you know what I'm going to do? I want to see the people I work with your eyes. I want to hear the conversations with your ears. And I want to put my hands to busy. I want to make a difference today. I don't care what it is we're doing, whether we're having fun on a Saturday or whether we're working or no matter what it is. I need to be listening to God's voice. Go, do you see that? And go, I see that. When God opens your eyes to something, he's just going, hey, look at that. It's terrible, ain't it? He doesn't do that. God's like, you see that? And you go, I see it. I wanted you to see it. You know why? Because I want you to do something about it. I want you to join me because I'm already doing something about it. I want you to be my hands and feet. I want you to show that half-dead person my love. Think about this. There was no planning, no program, no raising money, no social media. He goes to the man and he involves himself. He makes the sacrifice necessary in order to save this man's life. Love is sacrifice. I hadn't thought this all the way through, but maybe it'll get you to think. I was thinking, can you actually show God's love without sacrifice? I don't even know if you can. It's a sacrifice. If you come here because you love God, you had to get up this morning early. You spent the gas to get here. A lot of you give to the Lord because you love and you sacrifice. You probably had to listen to somebody yak at you a little bit. You made that sacrifice. You can't love your kids without sacrifice. Kids, your mom and daddy sacrificed themselves to death for you. You'll figure it out when you get to be a mom and daddy. And I go, so why do we think we can show the greatest love anywhere without any sacrifice? Without any involvement? And I got to look at this. I thought, you know what this Samaritan reminds me of? He looks a whole lot like Jesus. I think there's a reason why Jesus said, you know what? I'm just, you know, he didn't look like the religious leaders. He wasn't robed out and crowned up and biggest Bible he had in his hand and his college degrees in his pocket and draw all the attention that he could draw on his platform and be away from people. And you know, Jesus was just a common man. Common man, common God man, who loved people and showed truth and grace, reached people, met people where they were. This is not about who you are, it's about who you love. Think about this. They look a whole lot like Jesus. Why? Because we've been robbed, beaten, and left for dead. We were robbed of God's glory by sin. We were robbed of the life that God intended us to have by Satan. He continues to rob a lot of people. The Bible said we're dead in our trespasses and sin. But you know what? Jesus came along. He saw you. You know where your salvation started? He saw you. With the result of what the devil had produced in your life. This man didn't go, hey, come help me. That dude was out of it. Jesus saw you and me. He came to us. He was willing to lay aside everything. Sacrifice all. And you know, I caught this time when I studied this. Watch this right here. He takes him to the inn. Said, you take care of him and whatever you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. Y'all people get that? You know what's going to happen when Jesus returns? He's like, you're as my people, you're the innkeeper. I'll give you what you need to take care of and be involved in this. Oh, and if you spend anything, when I come back, I'll repay you. I'll repay you. There's going to be a great reward for people who love like this. Lord's like, I'm not indebted to anybody. I'm going to pay everything that needs to be paid, and that paying is going to be amazing.
Right, amen.
So Jesus ends this with a question. He says, so let me ask you this question. Who of these three was the neighbor? I want to end my message to you this morning with a question. Which one of these men do you favor the most? And I don't care nothing about you. Feel guilty. Guilty doesn't produce anything. Guilty doesn't. Shame's not going to produce anything. Don't go out here today and go, oh, I'm an awful person. I'm awful, and I don't love anybody. All that. Okay. If that's where you're at, you're like, I look like the Levite. Well, then here's what we need to do. We need to wake up and repent. Bury yesterday. Bury what you hadn't done. Put all that behind you, and go at this point. Hopefully some of you went, you mean starting right now? Yeah, that's what I mean. Well, then I'm going to look like the Samaritan. Because today, because I love the Lord, because he loved me so much, I'm going to walk with him wherever he wants to go, and I'm going to be his hands and feet. This week, I'm going to show the love that changed me to somebody who needs changing. I'm going to show the love that helped me to somebody who needs helping. I'm willing to sacrifice and do whatever because I know the Lord's going to take care of whatever I need. And if I spend too much, when he comes back, he'll repay me.
That's right, amen.
Or you can just keep religion, and you can keep going to church. And I just want to be really clear about this, really clear. This is not a suggestion. You know, after this, Jesus said, go and do likewise. He started off, said, this do and you will live. Then he said, you go and do likewise. Because the lawyer went, well, I'm going to have to say it was that Samaritan. He's like, you go and do likewise. Faith without works is dead. Churches all over this city are full of people who do not know Jesus. They're members of the church. They go to church. They look like the church. But when you look at scripture, I just want you to look at your life and go, do I look like this? Quit deceiving yourself if you don't. Quit going back to an experience that priest, because if I were to challenge priest, go, you're telling me you know the Lord? And you just walk by this dude that the Lord brought in your life and you didn't do nothing? I mean, you didn't even call nobody. You just left him to die. And you know the Lord? You know what he'd say? I'm a priest. You know what? I've been ordained. I've got the clothes. There's a lot of people I talk to, and I just ask them for their own benefit. So, okay, let me ask you something. What is the fruit of your life? You see the love of God coming out of you? Do you care about lost people? Do you tell people about Jesus? Do you sacrifice and give? Do you show people love of Jesus? No, I know I ought to. But love doesn't compel you to, right? No. No, I ought to. But you know what? I know I'm saved. How do you know I'm saved? Because I had an experience. And I went down front. And I've been baptized and all that stuff. Priests would have said the same exact thing. There's a lot of people deceived today. The Bible said, love the Lord your God all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. He said it. I didn't. You got to look and go, have I really received? Because it's not about doing. Don't go out and try to do. I'm asking you, has the love of God so transformed your heart that you go, I love serving Jesus. I love telling people. I love helping people. We're not all the same, but you got to have something that God's love went, all right, you release that on somebody. Go get them. If you don't have that, I'll just say it biblically, you're probably not saved, people. And maybe here today, you need to make that decision. I'm not asking anybody to come up here and say, holy ground. I'd rather you just deal with what you need to deal with right where you are. I'm going to ask you to stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed. If you want to come and pray, you're welcome to. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I love you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you, God, when we was left half dead, no hope, that you came to us. Amen. Sacrificed everything. You was willing to give everything. Your life's blood so that we could be saved, so that we could have life, so that we could get up from that place where sin had brought us to and we could walk on. Lord, you did it just because you love us. You love every person in this building, even lost people. Lost people who know they're lost and don't want nothing to do with you. You pursue them with your love. And God, as your people, I pray that we would walk in that. Let it transform us. God, help us, Lord, to quit making excuses and justifying ourselves. Give us a heart. I pray that every heart in here would be so impacted by the love that you've shown them that they have got to do something. Churches all over this country, God, that you would let this spark something that's real. Lord, not another stage and lights and smoke and shows and more conferences, but God, just the simple truth of people who love you, who love sinners, and we care enough to get involved and to do something about that. God, give us that kind of heart. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.